Today is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, and the readings are from Isaiah chapter 44, verses 4 through 6, Psalm 119, verses 57 through 64, and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and 36 through 43. Today's message is titled Weeds and Wheat and the Judgment to Come. Hear the word of God from Isaiah chapter 44, beginning at verse 6. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first and the last, and I shouldn't have moved into the wind. Sorry about that. I am the first and the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let him foretell what will come. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God beside me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 57. You are my portion, O Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face, and with all my heart be gracious to me, according to your promise. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. At midnight I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. The earth is filled with your love. O Lord, teach me your decrees. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servant asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, and then tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Now we're at verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into a house. His disciples came to him and said, Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. Jesus answered, The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Again, the sermon title this morning is Weeds and Wheat and the Judgment to Come. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the prayer I'm going to pray before the sermon this morning is a 4th century prayer from the Liturgy of St. Chrysostom. And so that means this prayer has been prayed in some portion of over 1,600 to 1,700 years. So hear this prayer from the 4th century as our prayer today. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness. Look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. It was in the middle of May, in the year 1982. At that time, I was offered a position with the Central Ohio Council of the Boy Scouts of America. In this position would be high adventure program leader for the two camps that they have, Camp Lazarus north of Columbus on Route 23, and Camp Longhorn south of Logan, Ohio in the Hocking Hills area. Camp Longhorn was a part of the Levesque Scout Reservation, which was over 1,000 acres in the Hocking Hills. Unfortunately and sadly, the land was sold in 1999 of the Levesque Reservation. But for that summer of 82, and I also went back the summer of 83, but the summer of 1982, I would be responsible to teach several merit badges, from hiking to camping to orienteering to wilderness survival. And the major focus would be on the camping and wilderness survival merit badges, both which included an overnight while at camp into the woods. Now, I had been a Cub Scout when I was younger, but I was never involved in Boy Scouts, so I had to take a crash course in these merit badges to learn the requirements and master the knowledge needed. And I was going to do that in about 5 weeks, especially needed to master the knowledge for wilderness survival. Now, as I was reviewing the requirements of the Wilderness Survival Merit Badge last night, it appears they have been changed during these almost 40 years since I taught wilderness survival in summers of 82 and 83. The requirement to build a shelter and spend a night in it, it's still there, but the wording of the requirement has changed. The new language, sad to say, has been politically corrected, and it's been updated with political correctness. And it says, use techniques that have little negative impact on the environment. Use techniques that have little negative impact on the environment. Now, if you're in a survival situation, I can tell you, your life is more important than making sure you don't have negative impact on the environment. Honestly, make the best shelter that you can make, because shelter is one of the top priorities, along with a source of water. Everything else can wait, but shelter and water are important. Now, another requirement that has been changed, I would say, in Wilderness Survival Merit Badge, it's been changed 180 degrees, and it's about wild edible plants. The new language has been changed and updated, but back in 1982, a knowledge of wild edible plants and how to use them was required, and trying them was a part of the Merit Badge too. The language today in the new merit badges explain why it is usually not wise to eat edible plants or wildlife in a wilderness survival situation. So we went back in 40 plus years ago or so, or 40 or so years ago, it was you need to know what they were and how to use edible wild plants and even try them. Now, explain why you don't want to do that. I wonder if the wilderness survival skills of today's merit badge earners are as survivable as compared to past generations of Boy Scouts who earned the wilderness survival merit badges. While we all know stories of people misidentifying mushrooms, and now have you heard it here in the state of Ohio, there's warnings about making sure you know the difference between Queen Anne's lace, also known as wild carrot, and hemlock, or giant hogweed. Queen Anne's lace, it's edible. And it was one of the plants in the old merit badge wilderness survival handbook of the past. Hemlock and giant hogweed, they are poisonous. And remember, it was hemlock that brought about the death of the philosopher Socrates. Now, the close resemblance of the plants such as hemlock and Queen Anne's lace, it plays a role in today's parable of weeds and wheat from our gospel reading. A quick refresher on the parable. It's a word picture that would be well known by the hearers of Jesus' parable. This word picture is being told to describe the kingdom of heaven. A man sowed good seed in his field. While sleeping, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. When the weeds sprouted, the weeds also appeared. Now, if you would like me to pull weeds, you need to make sure I know the difference between the weed and the flower and a plant or whatever. I just don't know. I'm not a gardener, but that's not the case here. These people would know the difference, and the reason that they can't discern the difference is that the weed of this parable is like a darnel. It's a species of ryegrass, and this species of ryegrass bears incredibly close resemblance to wheat. Actually, it's nearly impossible to tell the difference until the heads of wheat appear. This ryegrass resembles the wheat so closely, it's very hard to distinguish between this weed and the wheat. Now let's take a closer look at this. First, good seed. The adjective good. There are three Greek words that can be translated as good in English. And each of these Greek words has a slightly different nuance. The Greek word translated as good here means attractively good, good that inspires or motivates others to embrace what is lovely, beautiful, and praiseworthy. In other words, it's well, it's done as to be winsome and appealing. It is good. What was sown was good. It was beautiful, attractively winsome. Something you would want as your own. You would want to be a part of. It is good. It's G-O-O-D. Good. To this spreading of goodness, another came and spread what was not good. It looked good, gave all appearances from a distance that it was good, and for a period of time it looked good. But this is not good. That's the weed. Look at the one who sowed these things that look good but that are not good, who sowed these weeds. In the parable, it's an enemy. Yes, there is an enemy who sows things that look good, but they are not good at all. In fact, these things are just the opposite. The Greek word translated as enemy here means someone animated by deep-seated hatred. This entails an irreconcilable hostility proceeding out of personal hatred, bent on inflicting harm. I'm gonna get you, is the attitude of the enemy. There really is an enemy bent on inflicting harm. It's so full of hostility and hatred. But you let the wheat and the weeds grow. Let the two grow together. Do you ever wonder why God doesn't deal with evil right now? Why God lets it grow together with wheat? This parable gives an indication. You let them grow until the harvest. Then, at the harvest, God will decisively deal with evil. Evil, it will not go unpunished. Wait until the harvest. But why wait? 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10 gives us an indication of the waiting. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Did you hear? God is patient. And in that patience, God is given the opportunity for repentance. That's God's grace in action. Rest assured, evil will be dealt with. But this will be on God's timing, not ours. Jesus exclaimed to the disciples of the parable of the weed and weeds, as he's the one sowing the good seed. He is the Son of Man sowing the good seed. And that seed is the good news of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. The good news of forgiveness of sins for all who believe in Jesus Christ. As it's written in Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 37. Jesus answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Verse 38, the weeds are the sons of the evil one. The word evil here in the Greek emphasizes the pain, the inevitable, yes, inevitable agonies and miseries that will always go with doing evil. It's written in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 13 through 19. Hold on to instruction, do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go your own way. For they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. The way of the righteous is like light that grows into full light of day. It's easy to see where you're walking. You don't stumble, you don't fall. The way of the wicked, those who do evil, it's the opposite. It's like darkness. Darkness so deep, you're walking in the darkness. And when you walk in the darkness, you will inevitably stumble and you will fall. Be a son of the evil one. Be the progeny of the evil one or children of the evil one. Agonies and misery will come. Just as assuredly, walking in the dark, deep darkness, you will stumble, you will fall. Now in the parable, when the harvest comes, the weeds are pulled carefully from the wheat so as not to disturb the wheat harvest. Pull the weeds, take them away to be burned. Yes, you burn them to keep the seeds of the weeds from spreading. The image of what this parable is what the farmers already do with the weeds. And the way Jesus describes the harvest to come at the end of time, the weeds, the children of the evil one, meaning those who act like their father, the evil one, the devil, they will be pulled, will be separated out and taken aside and burned. Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 40. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now remember, a parable by Jesus is using earthly images to describe heavenly truth. Six times you find in the Gospel of Matthew, it is recorded Jesus spoke about this weeping and gnashing of teeth. And each time Jesus spoke of weeping and gnashing teeth, it was an action of separation, a division. The one who has done wrong is separated and cast out into the darkness, into fire, into some place of pain, with no escape to come. Such agony that it is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the commonality of all of those is they do not belong to Christ. Those who have not accepted Jesus as Christ, they will be cast out. They will be separated forever. This will happen at the end of the age when the judgment of God comes to all. This eternal separation from God will be unrelenting, and it will never go away. This life, these days we have on earth, are a fixed time that one can receive Jesus as Lord in Christ or reject Jesus. This earthly life is the time God has established as the time and place that one receives Christ or not. As it's written in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. The good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The good seed stands for those who receive Jesus as Christ, the Son of God. Matthew 13, verse 43. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father, will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. The sons of the kingdom, that is the children of the kingdom, are the righteous. These will be the ones that shine in the kingdom of their Father. That is the kingdom of God. God will be their Father. Just as it's written in Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. Yes, born of God, that is born again. If you will, from this parable of the sower, the seed that fell on the ground, it produced 100, 60, 30-fold. That's earlier in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, that parable of the sower. This seed has landed on the good ground, and it produces. He who has ears, let him hear. We need to focus now on that, the righteous. Who are those are the righteous? They are the ones who believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That is the righteous. You believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You are the righteous. But now let's focus on the how of this righteous to make sure there is clarity. This righteous designation, the righteous, it does not come from our own ability nor from our own merit. This righteous designation as the righteous comes from Christ's work and Christ's merit. The redeeming work of Christ on the cross, paying in full the redeeming price. Christ accomplished all on the cross, and the work of redeeming was finished on that cross. There is no work we can do, no human effort of our own that can compare to the finished work of Christ on the cross. That is what makes all the difference. That is, the work of Christ makes all the difference for us as the wheat, the righteous at the end of days. It's the work of Christ. The righteousness in us is not of our own doing. Rather, the righteousness in us is of God. God's work, God's declaration of justified in his eyes. A justification that comes by grace because of Christ's finished work on the cross. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Becoming righteous, it is a gift of God. Becoming the righteous, it is a gift of God. And this righteousness in us is Christ's righteousness. We are the righteous because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. This makes all the difference. The one true God, as we heard from Isaiah chapter 44 this morning, there is but one true God. Isaiah 44 verses 6 through 8, different portions of those verses. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Is there any God beside me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. The God who saves is the God who loves. He gives us his decrees and they are good. As we heard from Psalm 119 this morning, as Psalm 119 declared, portions of verses 57 through 60. You are my portion, O Lord. I have promised to obey your word. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. There is a judgment to come at the end of the ages. It matters whether you are a weed or you are wheat. And the difference is grace, God's grace. The weeds reject the grace of God, which has been freely offered. The wheat responded and received the grace of God, freely offered in Christ Jesus. The wheat desires the Lord as its portion. Wheat seeks the face of God with all of one's heart. Wheat understands God being gracious according to God's promises. And the wheat knows the Lord is God, and there is none beside him. The Lord is Almighty. The Lord is Redeemer. The Lord is the Rock. As you find in verse 2 of Rock of Ages, which we'll sing very shortly from now, verse 2, Rock of Ages states, "Thou must save, and thou alone." Verse 4 of Rock of Ages also states, "See thee on thy judgment throne, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." It's all God's grace. God declaring us righteous because of the completed work of Christ on the cross. As there is a physical life and death difference between Queen Anne's lace and hemlock, there is a spiritual life difference between being weeds and wheat. And there is an eternal and unending difference between weeping and gnashing of teeth and the righteous shining like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The spiritual and eternal unending difference is Christ and the finished work of the cross that brings redeeming grace. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen. Amen.